Have you ever thanked God for the fact that you can walk? You know, we usually take things that we can do and often things that we do every day for granted. We don't think very much about things that we do on a daily basis that are just an everyday part of our lives. Usually we don't think about things like being thankful for being able to walk until when we can't walk. I remember that's the experience that I had whenever I first couldn't walk. I was a senior in high school and playing basketball, had a teammate fall on my leg and tore out my ACL and had to have surgery and went through that process. Some of you have had similar types of surgeries and experiences. And as a result, I had to go through physical therapy and somewhat learn to walk again. I had to go back to the basics and learn to do something that I had taken for granted for so long and had to relearn it. I have the opportunity quite often to go and visit folks in our congregation that have been through injuries, things like strokes or falls, and they have to go through to rehability centers and actually learn how to do simple skills that we do every day and take for granted, have to learn how to do it all over again. Well, when you have to learn to walk again, if you really stop and think about it, walking is not the goal. Walking is a means to a goal. Your goal is you want to have a quality of life that you've enjoyed before. You want to be able to do things like play with your grandchildren. Or you want to be able to enjoy doing the things every day with your spouse that you're accustomed to doing. Or you want to be able to go fishing again. Or you want to go bowling again. Things that you enjoy doing in life that require walking. You see, walking is essential to be able to do those things. And so really your goal is not so much to walk again as it is to be able to walk as a means to do the things you enjoy doing. We often don't think about how elementary that just being able to walk is, but how crucial it is to being able to do so much more. And so sometimes we need to be thankful for and go back and remember the basic things of life that allow us to grow into something much greater and enjoy things in life that are much larger. The same is true in our faith. Sometimes there's a need to go back to the basics. And that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about in our text tonight. Now, it comes in the form of a rebuke because he writes to these Christians in Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 11, and he says, you know, you should have been at a point where you're mature enough in your faith to be able to teach other people about the basics of the Christian life, but you are so stunted in your spiritual growth that you have a need for somebody to go back and reteach you the basics. And he lists what some of those basics are. Because you can't always live on spiritual milk. Milk is essential for the beginning stages of spiritual growth, but you should grow into something much more advanced, the meat of the Word, being able to discern and be mature about what God's will is in your life. And so tonight I want us to think for the next few moments about when we should go back to the basics and when we should not go back to the basics. Now let's first start with where the Hebrew writer starts in somewhat of a rebuke, a loving and gentle rebuke about how we shouldn't really stay with the basics. I'm going to have Neil cue up a video. I've shown this to you before, but it's just too good and it fits in too well with tonight's sermon.
Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? But I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny,
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports. I'm just very successful
yes.
here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating?
A B.
Boat.
I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
3, 4, 5.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
E-I-O-U and sometimes letter Y too.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
That's somewhat of a humorous video, but I think you get the point. Did you notice at the beginning of it, he says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm comfortable here. I know what to expect. That's exactly what the Hebrew writer is rebuking these Christians about here in the last part of Hebrews 5. They had gotten comfortable in what they knew. They had gotten comfortable in the basics of their faith, and they had not grown out of that. They had not matured. They had stayed spiritually in kindergarten. And I'm afraid sometimes, if we're not careful, we can do essentially the same thing. Neil, can you go to the next slide? I don't have any control here. Okay. Yeah, we can't be satisfied with the basics alone. Sometimes we can get stuck in the basics. If you get stuck in the basics, you see how, I mean, from the video, from this picture, you see how ludicrous that is. I think we all see how silly it is and how stunted that it is for a person to stay in the basics of their faith and never mature, never grow to something bigger and greater. It's very easy, if we're not careful, to stay comfortable in the familiar, to stay comfortable in what we know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, is the cry of the person that might be called the legalist. The person who wants to stay with the basics of the head knowledge of faith, but really is not fruitful. Doesn't really take those basic principles and begin to live out the implications of what that means in your life. And it's as ludicrous from God's perspective as a grown man riding a kid's tricycle. And the Hebrew writer says, at the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that somebody go back and teach you. Next slide. From that standpoint, sometimes things can become so complicated in our faith that we have a need to return to the basics. And that's kind of the positive side to returning to the basics, because from a positive standpoint, while we don't need to stay stuck in the basics of our faith, there is something very essential and foundational about being sure in the basics. Here's what I mean by that. Have you ever seen this book, All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? Now, that book is taking it from more of a positive standpoint, and that is not that you should get stuck in kindergarten, but basically that there are things you learn early on that are so basic, so foundational, that everything you do from there on in your life is built upon what was first learned there. And so if you remove those things, then you become handicapped in being able to really do anything else. It's like trying to play with your grandkids or bowl or go fishing when you can't walk. You need the basics. You don't need to stay in the basics, but you need the basics. I remember in high school, whenever taking algebra and taking advanced math, geometry, some of those classes, I remember the teacher stressing oftentimes how important it is that you not miss a class, because if you missed a class early on, you learned skills in those early classes that would enable you to be able to complete the work later in the semester. Now, the goal of the class was to get to that point in the semester. You were not supposed to stay in those early classes. But if you didn't have the benefit of those early classes, you could never complete the later ones. So while we shouldn't stay spiritually on the basics, we've got to have a firm foundation of the basics. And that's what the Hebrew writer is going on to say here. After the rebuke, he's saying, listen, you should be at a point where you're ready to teach others, but you're not. You need somebody to go back and teach you the elementary things. Well, let's reestablish those basics so that it can equip us for where we need to be. Now, sometimes the things that become in our faith so complicated maybe wouldn't be so complicated if we would return and remember the basics of our faith. Now, here's what I mean by that. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany, which lit the fire of the Protestant Reformation, what he was essentially doing, at least in part, was saying the Catholic Church and the organized nature of the church had become so complicated, so convoluted with so many traditions and bells and whistles, that in the complicated nature of it all, we have lost the essential important items of our faith. And so he's essentially arguing we need to strip away all of that complicated stuff and get back to what it really means to be a Christian. Now, that is also the basis upon which the American Restoration Movement was begun, of which we are a part. The idea of the American Restoration Movement was, again, there's so much division and so much complicated aspects to religion that the pathway, it was believed, to religious unity is stripping away all the bells and whistles and getting back to the basics, getting back to what is simple, getting back to what can be known with certainty, with clarity, what rings true from the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. We need to get back to that. But I would argue the time has come where we yet need to do that again. And our culture is beginning to recognize it. Now, there are pros and cons to what I'm about to talk to you about. But I believe that sometimes we focus so much on the cons that we don't see the pros. Our culture is a point right now where people in the religious landscape of our culture are very resistant and even aggressively opposed to organized religion in the way that we currently think of it, in denominational structures. And so people, particularly in the younger generations across our culture, are saying, I'm sick and tired of all the bells and whistles, all the complicated nature of religion as it is seen in the American landscape, and I want to go back to something simple. And to me, that is part of the appeal of what we see in the community church movement. In the community church movement across our land, across our community, there are people that are saying, I want to go back to a simple aspect of faith. And so there's what is called the simple church revolution, where people are saying, church has become way too programmed, way too complicated, too much bells and whistles, too institutional, and we need to get back to a simple expression of discipleship with Jesus. Now, there's a lot more to the conversation, I realize that, but there's at least that positive aspect. And I must be honest with you, even in our fellowship, I think we've lost sight of the original intent of the restoration movement and even the Reformation, where in too many places, even in the churches of Christ, we have essentially become encumbered with the complicated nature of church. We've become over-programmed, too complicated, and we have so much stuff going on, it looks like this. And we may need to get back to the basics, get back to what is simple, get back to what is essential, get back to the core of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I think that is especially essential if we are to solve, at least this is one piece of the puzzle to solving the problem that so many of us know about, and the problem being, how can we retain the younger generations and reclaim the younger generations that en masse are leaving the church? Part of the reason that they're repelled by the church is because of the complicated nature of it. And also because we live in a culture that is so fast-paced and is so living at a breakneck speed that people are craving something more simple. We don't need more programs, more complication, more things needed. In fact, what we may need is less. Sometimes less is more when the less is done at a deeper level. I know of some churches, I read widely and I talk to people from lots of different backgrounds, and I know some churches that are really tapping into this. You see, for a long time we've thought that the solution to having people that are very involved in the church and very spiritual is we've got to have a program for everything and a program for everybody. And the church has become so encumbered and so complicated and so entangled with so many things that we lose sight of what is really essential. But I know of one of several churches, in fact, community churches, community church types, that in fact, instead of doing more, they're doing less, but they're doing less at a deeper level. And they're seeing dramatic results of people being more interested in our current culture in deeper levels, exploring deeper levels of discipleship. And so I think we need to think about this seriously. Next slide. Really, when it comes to following Jesus, knowing is not really the hard part. Doing is the hard part. Part of the problem of the complicated nature in which we find religion and churches currently in our culture has to do with we have lots of people that are educated in the Bible, but too few of us that are committed to actually really living it out the way we see Jesus and His followers living it out in the New Testament. Again, knowing is not really the hard part. It's doing that's the hard part. You don't think that's true? I've become so convicted lately. You know, it's not hard to understand when the guy came to Jesus and said, you know, give me the basics. What's the most important commandment? And the response comes back to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. Does anybody in here not understand that? Knowing that, understanding that, is not a problem. The problem is living it, is doing it, being committed to it. Or what about when Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That is so simple. It doesn't require a 13-week class to study that, to understand that. You read it, and it's as simple as the nose on your face. We know what it means to deny ourselves, but how many of us are willing to do that? You see, what really matters when it comes to the basics and what the basics really are may surprise you. I mean, James 1:27 has convicted me greatly over the last few months. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to take care of the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Do we need a class on that? I don't think so. But am I willing to do what that verse says? It's simple. James gets right where the rubber meets the road and says, here is a definition of real religion. You see, what makes up the basics may surprise us, because sometimes I think in the church, when we think about the basics, we think, okay, give me a list of what the basics are of the Christian faith, and we tend to default to a list like weekly observance of the Lord's Supper, plurality of elders in every church, worshiping God from the fruit of your lips. We start making that kind of list and defining that as the first principles or the basics, and yet Jesus has a different list in mind. I find it interesting the Hebrew writer has a different list, because I don't know what your list would be, but this wouldn't come first to my mind, at least not in the complete list. Listen to this, chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Basics. Repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. Instructions about washings, most likely here reference to baptism. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, we don't have time tonight to get into each one of these. I'm just simply saying that wouldn't be the first thing that came to my mind about what the basics are, and yet that's the basics he lists. And so we may need to go back and revisit what are the basics. And not only what they are, but next slide, but really digging down into those basics. Because really, spiritual maturity is not necessarily about being so informed and educated on a wide level of every minute principle and concept that the Bible talks about. And I'm not necessarily saying that's not a noble pursuit. But spiritual maturity may be more about going back to the basics and really committing yourself to what those basics are and the practical life-lived application and implication of what those basics mean in your life. I mean, think about it. Look at Jesus' disciples. Jesus' own disciples, the 12 apostles, were not theological scholars of their day. If you were to start looking in Jesus' day for who the theological scholars are, you're probably going to the Sanhedrin Council, or you're going to some of the rabbis, some of the Pharisees. You're not going to Peter, Andrew, James, and John with their fishing nets on the Sea of Galilee. And yet, they are the ones that preserve for us what Christianity is all about in the pages of the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus was impressing on them the real basics, where the rubber meets the road, what it looks like to live out a Christ-centered life and to be committed to those things and to live those things out. You know, Jesus actually rebukes the Pharisees in front of the apostles and says, do what they say, but don't do like they do. Why? Because they knew a lot of Bible, but they didn't mine down into the basics of their faith and live it out. Next slide. And so that's really what we need to focus in on. Because when we return to the basics of our faith and really what that means and what that looks like, and we mine that deep, what we're getting down to is the basic building blocks of what a Christian is. We might call it a Christian's DNA. Sometimes we need to go back and re-examine what that DNA is. What does it really look like? What does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I'm convinced it's less about philosophy and theory and more about lifestyle. That's what Jesus was trying to impress upon us. After all, in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus, I think, hits this directly when he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father will enter." He's talking about the DNA of what it means to be a child of God is not just Bible knowledge, but it's Bible application. It's mining the depths of the basics and the implications of what those basic teachings are saying and living that out. Next slide. It's the DNA of our faith. In some ways, we need to return, I think, to that. We need to return to what is basic. We need to commit ourselves to it. We need to live it out. We need to not only live it out, but demonstrate it to other people around us. I want you to look at a passage in Acts chapter 4. This passage has really impacted me recently. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are before the council of the Sanhedrin. And in verse 12, they conclude what they're saying, and they say that there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, that's getting to the DNA of what it means, the basic core essentials of what it means to be a Christ follower, is have you been with Jesus? Is it apparent in the lifestyle that you're living? Not in how much you know, how educated you are, but in the manner and decorum and character and behavior and demeanor of your life, that you've been with Jesus. Because after all, God's intention is not just to educate a bunch of people in Christian theory. His intention is that we be transformed and changed after the image of Christ. And once we've been changed by it, to in turn go and be teachers of these basic ideas to other people. That was his intention. You see that here in the Hebrew letter, in what the Hebrew writer says when he says, you know, it's high time, it's about time that you be teachers of these things, but it's needful that we go back and teach you these first principles because you've never really centered yourself down on these basics, submitted yourself, committed yourself, and dug down deep into the implication of what that means and the application of what that means, and let that absolutely change the person that you are. The Christian walk is all about change. That's what repentance is. It's about personal change and the change that Jesus can bring in your life. And if you have an avoidance of change, then you are rejecting the message of Christ because it's all about being pushed to be somebody different. And we've got to be receptive to that. Can people look at you and say, they might look at you and say, they don't know a lot, but you can tell they've been with Jesus. Now, I'm not de-emphasizing the importance of knowing. Please don't misunderstand. I'm emphasizing the importance of Christ-likeness. And that is what is really the whole aim of it all. Next slide. I say all of that to kind of help preview for us just a little bit what I want us to dig into in a few weeks. In 3 weeks, starting on June the 7th, We're going to launch back into our summer nights program. If you're just now joining us, let me tell you what that looks like. We started this last summer, and we're going to continue it again starting June the 7th. On Sunday nights, at our regular time at 6 p.m., rather than meeting up here in the auditorium, we will meet downstairs in the fellowship hall. And down there, we'll have, at beginning promptly at 6 o'clock, a brief devotional period together, after which then I will introduce a topic. And after the brief introduction of a topic, then we'll have conversation around the circular tables in smaller gatherings about what that would look like in our lives and talk it out and have a conversation about it. And then we'll conclude the night after, promptly at 7 o'clock, we'll conclude the night after the discussion then, we'll enter into a period of fellowship with enjoying some refreshments together and just enjoying one another's company and rekindling that conversation in our lives as we interact with each other. And so I want to kind of preview that tonight, because what we're going to be talking about, you may recall last summer, we talked about the good and beautiful God, getting to know the God that Jesus knows and loves, understanding who God is. Well, that's kind of basic. Well, starting this summer, for the month of June and July, we're going to also be revisiting some of the basics. In fact, we're going to be doing a series called Basic. And we're going to get back down to what some of the basics are, the basic DNA of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What some of those things are. It won't be an exhaustive study, but we'll look at some of the big ones. And then really try to center down on those and say, is this something that I just believe, or am I living out what that means in my life? Because that's what discipleship is living it out. And so we're going to get basic. And I'm real excited about those the topic and what we're going to be exploring together. And I know that it's going to be something that's going to benefit you. But in order for that to happen, again, here's my appeal. I need volunteers. And some of you have been good enough to already begin signing up on the sign-up sheets in the hallway across from the elevator on the small group bulletin board. There are two sign-up sheets. I need people signing up as volunteers to join together as families, couples, whatever, to actually be the ones that coordinate the refreshments for every night. And then I also need some volunteers to help with the setup of the tables and chairs each Sunday afternoon in preparation for our meeting. So if you can help out with that, again, let me remind you to be signing up, and we need lots of volunteers for that. I just feel like it's going to be a great, refreshing topic, and one that you're going to really, I think, be excited to be a part of. Now, here's the beauty about it. This topic not only will be something that will help firm in the foundation of your own Christian walk, but it is an exciting way and a safe way for you to think about somebody that you know that you can invite into these evening services to introduce them to the basics of the Christian life. So I want to look at this as something that not only is for us, but something that can be an outreach endeavor. And so I really want you to be thinking about, who do I know that's a family member, a relative, somebody that lives down my cul-de-sac, a co-worker, whatever, that I could invite into this setting that is very informal, very conversational, but also would be something very spiritual as a kind of a first step entry point into Christian community, because there's going to be lots of fellowship. It's going to be very informal, laid back, and something that would be very not intimidating to bring somebody into. And I will promise you that the subject material will be something that if you are sitting there thinking, I've got somebody on my mind, but I've been hesitant to invite them into a service because I don't really know what's going to be preached on that day, and they might not be ready for it, they'll be ready for these. And it'll be something that'll really be a natural first step for them. So there's multiple purposes going on behind my choosing this curriculum called Basic. And I just really want to I don't know what else I can say to get you energized and excited about this and inviting other people to be a part of it, because I think it's going to be something that's really going to bless us. And so that's my plug for tonight. Basic, getting back to what really matters. And so we're going to dig into that starting again on June the 7th. Well, tonight there's nothing more basic than the idea that you are accountable to a heavenly Father who made you. And He gifted you with the breath of life. And you have that gift within your lungs because God gave it to you, and He has in mind to give you not only life, but life renewed. Because deep within, we know that even though we're going through this life, something's not right. There's something out of place. There's a piece of the puzzle missing. We feel broken. We feel our fallenness. But God has a plan in place to make you right, to heal that brokenness that you feel within, to give you peace and assurance in your life. And that comes through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so if we can help you in any way, maybe you've got some questions that we need to talk about. Maybe there's something we need to explore together in Scripture so you can understand better what it means to surrender your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're ready to make the commitment, or you need prayer. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.